Greetings, everyone, and welcome in to Three Guys Before the Game, the pre-Texas edition. Yeah, this is it. This is your opportunity to join us as we look ahead to West Virginia University's next football game as the Mountaineers get set to hit the road to take on the Longhorns of Texas on Saturday afternoon, 3:30 kickoff in Austin. It's West Virginia and Texas. Coming up on our program, we'll break it all down. I'm joined by the Senator, Brad Howe, and the Dean, Hoppy Kercheval. Men, you all look wide-eyed and bushy-tailed of some degree.
I think that's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, but that's okay.
As I said, you all look widely bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, despite the fact that Kercheval did not sleep this weekend well at all and got out of bed and rewatched at midnight Texas and Oklahoma State. Huh? You've made it. I mean, you could have gone to C-SPAN and watched some debates, but instead you really went to your love. You went to football.
And see if the outcome was any different.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So
I'll tell you what, that is worth not so much that game's worth rewatching. It was a very entertaining game, especially the first half.
The end was entertaining when the coaches went out on the field. Huh? That was good.
They shook hands. They hugged
I know
it
they
out,
did. It was pretty. It looked pretty animated.
It got
there,
heated there for a while. You don't generally see that.
Pretty animated. So here we go. West Virginia and Texas. A year ago, this was the game that West Virginia's season came to an end. This was the game that Will Grier took a snap, ran to the far left pylon, tried to make it in, and came back, and his hand was very, very displaced. And that was it for West Virginia. Season over. Not to win again. On Saturday, Grier, healthy, in form after his performance against Baylor, heads down to Austin to take on Sam Ellinger and the rest of the Longhorns. And which Texas team will West Virginia see? What's it all mean? Let's put it into perspective. Hoppy?
Well, let's go back to that game on Saturday and Saturday night.
Why not? You watched it twice.
Yeah, really intimately familiar with it. First of all, the first thing I thought of was, because we have the ability to look ahead, is like, uh-oh, West Virginia has to go to Stillwater, because when Gundy has a chance to coach him up, watch out.
So you West Virginia's got to go to Austin. You said West Virginia's got to go to Stillwater.
Well, the much maligned, thank you, Brad, Taylor Cornelius. Yeah. Threw for 324 yards, 3 touchdowns. Tylan Wallace, 10 catches, 222. Nobody had an answer for them. And I tell you what, Oklahoma State, when they play fast, they might play faster than anybody. They had 17 points and 260 yards on 27 plays in the first quarter.
They were rolling. You forgot Cornelius's 2 rushing touchdowns.
That's
as well,
right.
When he lumbered in for 2 touchdowns there rushing the football.
And throwing for touchdowns on fourth down. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know about that's a genius if it works. What are you doing if it doesn't?
Yeah.
Throwing deep
but
on fourth and 2.
So
it did work.
He moves like a gazelle.
Taylor Cornelius?
Not a gazelle.
Maybe a gazelle that's been shot in the back. He played very well. Oklahoma State was very good. They took advantage of some suspensions that Texas had early, especially in the defensive backfield. And that was one of those buzzsaw games. Texas walked into a buzzsaw, much like West Virginia did, much like Ohio State did. That's what you saw Texas do. They walked into it against a team that was fired up, ready to go, executed, and played very well. Give Oklahoma State a lot of credit.
Does this mean that West Virginia is going to be walking into a buzzsaw on Saturday?
You don't know, because what is the one word to describe Texas this year?
Inconsistent.
Inconsistent, yeah, exactly. And you don't know. I mean, is it going to be the team that, let's see, is it going to be the team that played Maryland and Baylor, or the team that beat Oklahoma and USC? Which team is it going to be?
Well, I'll give you this. Speaking of inconsistent, because I think consistency might be the most difficult thing to achieve in college sports, in particular college football. Outside of Alabama, who is consistent?
No
Maybe
one.
Clemson a little bit?
No.
It is so hard to find. Go no further than West Virginia. In back-to-back games, West Virginia's played its worst game of the season and very best game of the season. So you ask, which Texas team is West Virginia going to get? Which West Virginia team is Texas going to get?
Okay, except that they've been fairly consistent defensively, Texas has. They were probably second in the league, maybe third defensively, giving up 25 points a game. And as you said, they just got gashed defensively in that first half in that game. So that was a surprise. That was the part that was maybe more surprising than anything else.
Now, Hopster, you talk about Texas's defense, and rightly so. They're currently third in the Big 12 in scoring defense. They're giving up 25 points per game. Who among us, here in this studio, who among us in Mountaineer Nation had the West Virginia Mountaineers going into the month of November number one in the Big 12 conference in scoring defense?
Less than 20 a game, right?
Yeah. They're 19 at 19.6. So if you say you had West Virginia as the number one scoring defense going into the month of November before this season started, give us a call because we want your lottery numbers the next time that thing gets over a billion. That is an amazing stat, boys. That's amazing.
They've done an incredible job with all of the injuries, just plugging guys in and being able to perform. Now, that said, this is where it gets difficult. Now they're going to face some teams, namely Oklahoma State, when they're rolling in Oklahoma at the end of the year, that are two of the better offenses in the league. So now it's really time to see if that was statistically driven because of the offenses you were facing, or can you live up to it now with the title on the line? Because you've gotten to the point when you're West Virginia, yeah, you had the stumble against Iowa State, but you're in the mix the final month of the season, and there's an elimination title race about to start this weekend.
You know, and on that, when we talked about the Texas-Oklahoma game prior to the game, Brad, you and I were all jacked up saying, let Texas win to have this, to have the attraction of a number six team playing West Virginia. But in reality, you don't get that. But in reality, you're better off in terms of this race in the league because you want these other teams to get losses.
You, from that standpoint, you are. And we talked about that. I still wanted Texas to come into this game as the number five or six team in the country because if West Virginia wins, the win would look better. Now, the first goal for this team, and maybe the only goal at this point for West Virginia, is get into the Big 12 title game and try and win the Big 12. It's going to be really difficult for a team not named Oklahoma, I think, to get in the college football playoffs, and they may even have trouble doing that. So that would have a five-ranked Texas team would have helped West Virginia's resume, but maybe that's so far down the road. Just go in and find a way to beat Texas here next.
All right, so let's jump into this then, and let's break down this conference race at this point, shall we? Who's in, who's out for the conference race? Right now, you've got three teams at 4-1 in league play. They are, of course, Oklahoma, West Virginia, and Texas. Either the Mountaineers or the Longhorns will have a second league loss come Saturday. And then don't forget about Iowa State. Don't forget about Iowa State. They had their hard stuff early. Senator, there's no reason, right? There's no reason that Iowa State can't win the rest of their games.
Other
including Incarnate Word.
But if they win the rest of their games, they won't be playing Incarnate Word because they'll be in the Big 12 title game that weekend at Kansas coming up on Saturday
when?
For Iowa State versus Baylor.
When?
At Texas.
Don't know.
Got to play versus Kansas State.
When?
So they've got a pretty easy schedule moving forward comparatively.
They could be 7-2 in the league. All right. So anyway, West Virginia and the Texas Longhorns. We're going to go in depth on this coming up on Thursday during the show. But just first off, from pulling this thing back from their performance on Saturday, where do you think we are with this Texas team? Now, we joke, and it's just not us. It's not a regional thing. It's a national thing. People smirk that Texas is back. Well, they're not back if they go out on the road and they lose to Oklahoma State. And that's not to take anything away from Oklahoma State. But when Texas was the Texas that was the Texas, winning the national championships and contending for national championships, they'd go in there and they don't lose those games.
Okay, but part of it is there's a falsity in the setup, and we've joked about that, is that is Texas back? Well, that's the real question is, can you go to Texas and get beat? And the answer is yes, whether they're back or not back. I mean, they're good enough to beat you. The line is only 2.5. So whether they are back or not is kind of a subjective discussion. Reality is they are good enough to beat you.
Solid point, Senator. Let's turn it over now to our point spread options here. You looked ahead at this game and you said the worst thing that could happen for West Virginia was to be the favorite going into the game. And just by the chinny-chin-chin of the oddsmaker's spread, West Virginia will not be the favorite.
It's all you need.
West Virginia wins. Mark it down right now. West Virginia wins. It's one of
now,
the
is
more.
That, wait a second. West Virginia, now, before or after we see the GOAT on Route 19?
Well, I think that's off. The GOAT's missed a couple. The GOAT's missed a couple straight. The GOAT might be. The GOAT's having an off year. He's on the hot seat. It's the most unbelievable stat.
Goat's got a buyout. Don't
football.
Worry about it. Yeah,
not
go
the goat. This Tom Herman stat. 23-1. Tom Herman, 23-1 against the spread as an offensive coordinator or head coach, as an underdog. So when a Tom Herman coach team, either when he's the OC or the head coach, 23-1 against the spread, okay, as the underdog.
I'm with you.
4, and after the loss at Oklahoma State, 4-15 against the spread as a favorite. So it's a huge gap between a Tom Herman team as an underdog and a Tom Herman team as a favorite. You mentioned West Virginia is a 2.5-point underdog in this game, so that would seem to point to a nice favorable line for West Virginia.
Early on, did it go up a point? Did it open 1.5?
1.5.
So it did go up a point. And the people that you know that work in these worlds, so basically is it truly 3 to start when you're the home team?
It varies depending on the venue, but that's a good starting point.
So basically it's even.
It's basically a pick 'em.
But it's just enough for West Virginia to play the disrespect underdog card.
Exactly. It's a perfect spot for West Virginia.
With that being said, and again, this is the intangible here, where do you think West Virginia's head is at collectively as it goes into this game?
It's got to be great. It's got to be
think?
In a great spot. Oh, I think it's in a great spot. Given what they did against Baylor in all facets, it wasn't just the offense got back on track. It wasn't just the defense carried you and the offense struggled. You created turnovers as a defense. You dominated and shut down Baylor. You got on track offensively. You did everything well, except maybe run the football. We'll get to that a little bit later. But that offense got clicking. You put up 58 points. I think West Virginia would appear to have completely erased all the bad vibes coming out of Iowa State and has to collectively be in a great spot confidence-wise heading to Austin.
Yeah, agree completely. I mean, they should have a great week of practice. You're coming off a win. You're going to play Texas, and that's a big deal. Texas is, you know, is highly ranked. So you're right there. You're right where you want to be.
Is there anything more you could ask for as a player? If you're Will Grier, if you're David Sills, Gary Jennings, David Long, et al., to say, okay, boys, we were walking down the death row here. After the loss to Iowa State, and now here is your opportunity, center stage in Austin, Texas. If you guys are what you think you are, then you go out there and you win this game. It's a wonderful setup.
And this is the great thing about this league that, you know, again continues to be criticized. But, I mean, think about it. Is it you're playing – I always thought it's good for the league to have Texas – okay, I don't know if they're back or not, but have them be good. Right, that's just good for league because they are a national brand. And so now if you're a player, you're going to go play a nationally recognized program that's won national championships in their environment. That's what you want. You know, in the old Big East, you could run through that, but you might have a big game and go, okay, you're going to go play South Florida. You go, ugh, nobody's going to be there, et cetera,
right.
et cetera. This is the exact opposite of that.
Well, and you've got, as I alluded to earlier, you've got to the final month of the season with the title game in your sights.
Yes.
Right? It's basically elimination games each week to try and get to Dallas for that championship game.
Yeah.
Starts Saturday.
Today's program is being brought to us by our guy, Fine Looking Phil. Go over and see Fine Looking Phil at Daniel's Menswear in Morgantown at University Avenue. And his special for this podcast, and only this podcast, continues. All you have to do is go into Daniel's and say, I listened to Three Guys Before the Game, and you will receive 30% off, 30% off all of his unbelievable classy selection of Mountaineer apparel. That's 30% off Daniel's Menswear. Just go in there, and a Fine Looking Phil, by some weird chance, isn't there. You just tell the folks there, Joan or whomever, Rory,
Rusty,
whoever of those guys, just say, hey, I listened to Three Guys Before the Game, you get 30% off as a special treat for you for listening to our podcast. Is the Big 12 conference getting bad publicity, bad brand recognition among the intelligentsia of the college football world based upon this statistic? Maybe they don't have a Final Four team for the college football playoff. However, 60% of the Big 12 football schools are currently ranked in ESPN's top 32 of their FPI rankings. That's their power rankings. 60%, which puts West Virginia and the rest of its Big 12 members as the second best in that category among Power 5 conferences. So maybe you don't have the national championship team. But you know what those numbers are saying? It's not as bad as others say it is.
Yeah, some of that just gets kind of repeated because it always does. I mean, is anybody... If you look at that, is anybody any good other than Alabama and
no.
Clemson?
No.
I mean, that,
no.
Maybe Notre Dame. So, I mean, everybody beats everybody every week except Alabama and Clemson that wins every game.
Yeah, except here's the thing, and you guys know this. The national conversation is centered around the Final Four. The national conversation is about national championship. There's never any depth conversation because that's not sexy to talk about middle and bottom of the leagues, because if it was, you would crush the ACC right now. You could stand up and absolutely bury the ACC to the point they should probably cancel football. Just go ahead and try and play basketball. That is a horrific football league this year. It's awful. Florida State stinks. Louisville's one of the worst teams in America, and I could keep going on. That's a terrible football league. But you just don't talk about the depth at the national level, and that's where the Big 12 falls down really most years, because it's as deep a league as there is in the country because of the only being 10 teams.
Am I wrong? My personal thing is I kind of get taken aback or get bummed out by all of the conversation from before the first game has ever even played in a season about the college football playoff. And it does dilute everything else. Now, you can say, no, man, you're wrong. This is all about the final. But like in college basketball, at least we don't talk Final Four until toward the end. At least you're talking about the rest. Everything else is like, if you're not in this conversation, then you suck.
Well, wait a minute, Tony. I disagree with you, because in basketball, it'll be, what is it? Mid-November, somebody will have brackets out.
I mean, brackets, not Final Four.
Oh, no, people will be talking about the Final
they
Four.
Do not. No, they
well.
Do not. No, they do not. Well. Senator, break it up.
Well, you both have points here that are right. There's probably too much emphasis on the football Final Four, and that's all that gets discussed. Hoppy's right, though. I mean, we a lot of times gloss over the college basketball regular season and certainly the first 2 months in order to get
Absolutely.
Into March Madness as a whole. So both of you are right on that one. I can't take a side. You both made points that made sense.
I'll tell you what.
You were both right.
Tell you what, you're lucky you're sitting over there in the middle. If I was next to you right now, I'd take a swat right at you, young man. No, I just think that's there's this nonstop.
Okay, but that's the attraction. But it's not monolithic. I mean, that's the national attraction. But here, or in every other league, and every other media that's following their league, you're talking about not only the Final Four, but also your league. So, you know, it can be covered at multiple levels.
I just think that the conversation really is limited. Let's face it, man.
If we didn't have a Final Four, they'd be talking about who wins the Heisman, and nobody talks about that anymore.
Okay, fine. I guess.
Unless it's Will Greer.
I guess. Can he get back in the Heisman hunt?
Listen, everybody's chasing Tua Tagovailoa. We're into November. The kid hasn't thrown an interception yet. So what you're trying to do, if you're Will Greer at this point, you're trying to get one of those three invitations
to
New
York
City.
Yeah.
You want to see it be Tagovailoa, Kyler Murray, and Will Greer. That's what you're looking for. So can he get in that discussion? Absolutely,
sure.
He can get in that discussion. Now, can he get himself over that hump? If he has a huge game against Texas and they win out and you beat Oklahoma and you're in the Big 12 title game and Alabama happens to stumble, then yeah, absolutely. That becomes a reality from a discussion standpoint. But boy, Tagovailoa is just lighting it up.
Should we be surprised in this statistic as we head into November? There are four Big 12 teams currently ranked nationally in the top 15 in total offense. They are Oklahoma, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, and West Virginia. West Virginia is fourth among those schools at number 15. Does that surprise you going into the season? Did you think the offense would be a top 10, top 5?
Yes. Top 3? Yeah, I think it did. Again, you go back to that Iowa State game, just crashed the averages right there a ton. The surprising one on that list is, yes, I thought West Virginia would be higher. I thought they'd be a top 5 all year nationally. Oklahoma State, for having such a rough year, they continue to be up in there. That's the one that surprises me.
Taylor Cornelius, you can't deny him.
You can't contain Taylor Cornelius.
Dana Holgorsen said he wanted to average 45 points a game, averaging 40, so they're below that. But if you're going to average 40 points a game and Greer's going to throw for 320, 350, you're going to be in that top group. So you really are sort of fulfilling expectations.
Rushing the ball, we'll get into it on Thursday. Got to run.
Well, maybe you know. I'm now with Brad. Forget about it. Don't just have an obligatory 20 carries a game and the rest of the time throw the ball.
Texas is only allowing 133 rushing yards per game, which is third among Big 12 schools. In second is West Virginia. The Mountaineers are allowing just 132.9.
You know what surprises me about the rushing part of this matchup is that Texas isn't running the ball more effectively. They only average 6 more yards a game than West Virginia does.
Yeah.
And we talk about West Virginia's struggles and inability to run it. Well, it's not like Texas is running it great either, and that's what they do. That's that brand, especially with Ellinger at quarterback.
West Virginia's rushing for 148 a game, and Texas 154. That's it. That's it.
So, I mean, it's shocking.
Yeah, what you have to be concerned about, though, is Ellinger. Ellinger's bigger than any West Virginia linebacker.
And that's
a threat. He can get you a first down.
Well, that's the threat, and that's what we'll dive
huge
into Thursday.
Challenge.
The matchup here is tough. When you have those smaller West Virginia linebackers, you move Javonte Stewart down, and you're playing a Baylor that wants to run it or an Oklahoma State that wants to get out in space, okay, you like that matchup. If Texas decides it wants to just line up and go really big and run it right at you, that to me is the test for this West Virginia defense.
Let me give you another,
that's what it comes down to.
We'll talk about this Thursday, I guess, but Texas is number one in the league in red zone defense. And West Virginia can't run the ball inside the red zone. Now, maybe they just pass in the end zone, that's fine, but you're facing the team as number one in red zone defense in the league.
Yeah, and you handled that okay against Baylor, though, because coming in, Baylor was top 10 nationally in red zone defense and allowing touchdowns, and West Virginia was able to overcome that. So can they do the same thing here against a Texas team that's obviously more talented than Baylor was?
Coming up on our program, we often talk about this. No matter where you are, no matter where you are, there's always a West Virginia connection. There's always a West Virginia connection. We'll get into that in our final piece of today's program. So West Virginia and the Longhorns of Texas.
What is it?
Excuse me?
You going to mention it now or is it later?
It's later. It's the last thing we'll do at the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
It's the last. So I think you'll like
obviously
it.
Obviously a good tease. It got you interested.
Is. Yeah, yeah. Buried the lead there. Right?
It's coming up here. So West Virginia with a win on Saturday, what's that do to the overall quality of the season? You would have a victory on the road at Texas. What level does that put you at? By the way, the Mountaineers 3-3 in Big 12 play against Texas and would have had them beat last year. I guarantee it if Will Greer doesn't get hurt.
I tend to be with you on that. I mean, it's huge. It would be huge getting this win. But I'm to the point now, that you're in the home stretch, I'm looking at this and I'll continue to bang the drum I've done since second half of the Utah game last year. This West Virginia team needs to get to a Big 12 championship game. This thing is set up for them. The teams remaining on the schedule are all winnable. This is the year West Virginia has to get itself to the Big 12 title.
Even if you beat Texas, but as you said, Brad, but you don't get to the Big 12 championship game, anything short of getting to the Big 12 championship game will be below expectation.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good way to say that.
So it's not just about you beat Texas but didn't get in the championship game. No, beat Texas but also get in the championship
game. Yeah, because to me, Texas, this particular Texas group is just the next one in line.
Right, right.
Would it be a nice win because it's Texas and they're ranked?
But it's not like,
yes,
oh, my God,
it's not,
you can't
oh,
beat
my
Texas.
God, oh, you beat Texas. Oh, look at this. All right, a great season. Thanks, guys.
Now,
it's the next one in line. You beat them, and then I'll sit here and say the same thing about Oklahoma State coming up next.
Boy, I tell you what, though.
Or TCU.
I spent too much time again late last night watching that game. I'm thinking, you beat Texas, and then you go and you get trapped at Oklahoma State. Mike Gundy cooks something up. Because that team's getting better. Okay, I thought they were just...
Well, they were better the other night. I mean, I think, be very careful here because West Virginia looked
one game does not make a trend.
A weekly basis. West Virginia was awful at Iowa State and outstanding against Baylor. There are so many factors in here. Don't get too nervous about Oklahoma State and don't push too far ahead here. Because, by the way, you got to get by TCU. You're just discounting TCU now that they lost to Kansas.
TCU is, there are minus 12 in turnovers. My goodness, who would have seen that? That's the biggest surprise of the league. Might be a bigger surprise than Iowa State.
Kansas beat TCU.
Well, Kansas is a big...
Stop, say that again. Kansas beat TCU.
Yeah, 14 straight league games they'd lost.
Hadn't won in October since like 1862.
Does Beatty still get fired?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, done.
Yeah.
He's done. Not even a question.
Increases his winning percentage by 400%.
They didn't bring Jeff Long in as one of the 10 highest paid ADs in America to sit on his hands and go... Yep, everything's good. We're good. Thanks for the million a year. We're good.
Wait till they beat Texas in the last game.
Change is coming.
Lastly, before there's always a West Virginia connection, when we get together again on Thursday, will we be talking about Texas linebacker Brecken Hager? Will he say something again this year derogatory toward West Virginia? He ran his mouth. Not only in the West Virginia game last year, this is the same guy who once said he felt that he had to injure then Texas Tech quarterback Pat Mahomes in order to stop him. This is the guy that hit the Oklahoma State running back when they were taking the knee at the end of the game on Saturday to cause the
kerfuffle?
Kerfuffle?
Completely uncalled for, by the way.
Oh, sure it was.
Well, he called a shot. If you go back and watch that play, he was pointing at the Oklahoma State kid saying, I'm coming to get you right now. I'm coming to take a cheap shot right now. And did.
Yeah. I'm not going to say something that will come back and haunt me. Will he say something to engulf the Flames this week?
No, chills? Because of the Oklahoma State incident.
Okay.
He'll be under wraps this week.
All right.
Agreed.
All right. Today's program has been brought to us by Daniel's Men's Store of Morgantown. Get 30% off of all of his WVU apparel. He's got the good stuff. Cutterbuck, Nike, the really nice stuff. Now, he doesn't have any WVU stuff under the Hart, Schaffner, and Marks brand, but he now does sell Hart, Schaffner, Marks, and that stuff is sweet looking. Those are suits. I mean, there's, you know, Hoppy, some suits have pants, others have trousers, and the Hart, Schaffner, Marks
trousers
are,
Mind is nice.
Oh, so 30% off, just going to Fine Looking Phil's at Daniel's Men's Store and say, I listened to Three Guys Before the Game. So here's the deal. I always say there's always a West Virginia connection, right? No matter where you are, there's always a West Virginia connection.
Absolutely.
So I'm spending the weekend in Chicago, and I haven't told
you. As you do. Yeah. As people do. Spend the weekend in Chicago.
Well, they got that
flight. They went to see Hamilton.
Well, they got that flight from Clarksburg. You just drive down the road, you get on that plane, direct into Chicago.
It's almost like a PJ private jet.
It's almost like a PJ. In the world. Yeah. So go to see the show. It was wonderful. And because I'm elderly, I ate very early dinner, like 5:30. So having dinner, and there's this very
senior discount.
Yeah, I didn't have it. But anyway, this very nice couple next to us, and they were chatty. You know, they had that Midwest accent, right? They had a Midwest accent. You know, you'd hear it, you know, they're your people.
There isn't a Midwest accent.
No, there's no accent.
There's no accent. It's kind of a
little Minnesota type.
Okay,
Minnesota, Wisconsin drift. Hey, very nice people. So I start talking. Hey, what's going on?
Imagine striking up a conversation.
They were talking to me, actually. And they said that we're going to see Elton John tonight. I said, you're going to see Elton John? She goes, it's his last ever tour. Because that's what they do when they need money. They just say, that's our last ever tour.
For 2 years, by the way. The tour's going on for 2 years.
I said, well, that's great. United Center. Yeah, go to the United Center. We come out there. We live about 75 miles away. We just came in for the weekend. We're going to go there, have dinner tonight, go watch the show. And that's great. And they said, where are you from? And I said, West Virginia. The guy said, West Virginia. I said, yeah. He said, my son-in-law played basketball at West Virginia. So I said, oh, really? Because if you do what I do and you come across people, and this happens even more so in football, people always say they know someone that played football at West Virginia. So I'm thinking, oh, he did play at West Virginia. Was it Alderson Broaddus? Was it Davison Elkins? Was it who? What school? He said,
so
no.
In the state versus the university.
Yeah. Because he said, no, he played at West Virginia. I said, he played at West Virginia. I said, now, what was his name? He said, Devin Ballwinkle.
Yeah.
And I go, I know Devin Ballwinkle. They go, you know Devin Ballwinkle? I said, yeah.
Old John Beilein days.
I said, shooter. Went to Iowa. Yeah, that's him. So the nice lady, she gets going on the phone. She calls, he says, Devin. She goes, yeah, I'm sitting there. Now, what's your name? I said, Caridi. She goes, she goes, oh, he knows you. He said you were very nice. I said, yeah, very nice. So what? I mean, this restaurant had 300-plus people in it. Massive. Sitting next to these people. It's always a West Virginia connection.
Well, what's beautiful about that is that you're right. Anywhere you go, if somebody has a West Virginia connection, because we're a small state, you can complete that. You can complete that circle.
More than 6 degrees.
What would have been the number of guesses it would have taken us to guess Devin Ballwinkle makes an appearance on the October 29th podcast while we're talking about the Texas Longhorns?
Did not see that coming.
Doing wonderful, by the way. Beautiful family. He's got two daughters. She showed me the picture. I got the whole thing. In fact, I'm going to their Christmas party. It's going to be a heck of a deal. All right, we're out. We're back again Thursday. We'll go deep into the numbers on West Virginia and Texas. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, check out our guy, Three Guys Before the Game official sponsor. It's Daniel's Men's Store, 30% off. All you have to do is go in and say, I listen to Three Guys Before the Game and get 30% off all WVU apparel. We're out. See you on Thursday. Take care.